Thank you for the nice introduction. Good morning, everyone. Glad you're awake and with us. And I'm awake. I'm delighted to start off our panel. I'm actually very much looking forward to hearing what's going on in the rest of the nation. I'm going to start us off in Los Angeles County, just north of here. Laureen's then going to take us through the whole state of California. And what's delightful is then we'll be hearing a lot about Ohio, not Ohio. I heard the name Ohio earlier today. About Connecticut as well as New York, and I'm really delighted to hear about fruit and vegetable consumption among our childcare kids, because that's something a lot of us are noticing we're not seeing as much as we'd like to. Our study was funded by the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, which is a foundation here in California that gives quite a few funds in Los Angeles County for diabetes prevention and obesity prevention. I need to learn how to forward my slides. Can we put that up here?
No.
Okay, I'm going to move toward you. Good morning. This is a very collaborative project. I'm Shannon Whaley from PHFE WIC. My colleague Judy is in the audience, and we have just had a terrific team of folks from the California Food Policy Advocates, the Child Care Food Program Roundtable, and the Center for Weight and Health at UC Berkeley. So this is really a team effort. I'm just the voice today. I'm supposed to tell you I have no financial relationships to disclose. There's some themes, a number of us spoke about 4 weeks ago, and there's some themes that are going to carry across our presentations. So I thought we would have me lead that off, or we discussed me discussing those themes so you don't have to hear it four more times as others speak. But there are increasing numbers of young children that are cared for in center and home-based child care settings, but very little is currently known about the nutrition and physical activity in those settings. So that's one of the themes you're going to hear throughout today's talks. A term that many of us are going to be using is CACFP, the Child and Adult Care Food Program. So it's probably important that you all know what that is. I'm sure many of you in the room already do. But it is federal funding reimbursement to child care centers and family daycare providers that provide meals and snacks, including a minimum of age-appropriate servings from four food categories. And the CACFP reimbursed meals and snacks provide about a third to a half of daily nutritional needs of children. The other theme that I think we're hearing everywhere is this increase in the problem of early childhood obesity. Of course, we're hearing it across the population. You've all seen slides from comparing 1960 and 1980 to now. I thought I would bring you to LA County to bring the context to where I'm from. And here we really are seeing about a 1% increase in overweight 3- and 4-year-olds each year. So it really is a dire situation and a theme that has driven a lot of us to start looking at what are the potential causes. And I know many of you in the room are doing really excellent, interesting work in many different areas here. In Los Angeles County, then, there are 350,000 of our 900,000 infants and children ages 0 to 5 that spend at least a portion of their day in child care settings outside of their home. I'm from the WIC program. We serve about, actually it should be 600,000 infants and children every month in Los Angeles County. So our WIC program is larger than the WIC program of most states. We serve 2/3 of all the births that are all the babies born in LA County come through a WIC door. And over 90% of the eligible births come through a WIC door. So what we find, actually, we did a recent survey, about 1/3 of our WIC moms are using some form of child care. So since we are the connection to many of these moms, it's very interesting and important for us at WIC to understand what the mom's needs are and then what the linkages might be with child care. When we look at, I'm actually going to skip that one because I think this one is more interesting. I just told you that about 1/3 of the moms are using child care for their young children. What's very, very interesting, in Los Angeles County, as you might imagine, we have many Spanish-speaking Latina mothers. Those women seem very much less likely to be using child care than other mothers, and I think this is an important thing for us all to keep in mind, that there are very likely to be ethnic differences in both utilization of child care and provision of things like nutritious snacks and physical activity in those settings. In Los Angeles County, our CACFP participation is quite high, as you might imagine, with that many kids. And primarily what I wanted to show you here is that we really see mostly the, quite a lot of reimbursement for lunch and for snack, with then breakfast coming in third, and very comparatively little reimbursement for dinner or supper. So funded by the Gilbert Foundation, we conducted direct observations in child care centers from about last November through March of this year. And what we were specifically doing is looking at what foods were being served in these child care sites. We also looked at mealtime behaviors and settings, and did a little assessment of the physical activity supports that were going on in these sites. So we went to licensed childcare settings in Los Angeles County. We also conducted key informant interviews to assess the key nutrition and physical activity challenges. And Maria, who's wonderfully here today, despite the fact that her baby's coming next week, she'll be talking about the key informant interviews. So I will not be talking about that aspect this morning. Our study framework is that we took a random sample of licensed child care centers and homes. We sampled that from the California Department of Education licensing lists. Yes, they do exist. They aren't so easy to get, but we figured that out. And we did visits to 54 child care sites. We conducted those visits with trained WIC staff. These were staff that had been with WIC, all of them for over 5 years, many for over 10 years, and had lots of experience with dietary guidelines and looking at nutritional issues. We gave them extensive training, and then we sent them out with a lead observer, and all of the team had to get reliable with that lead before they were allowed to go out on their own. So they were observing the lunch service. They were out for about 2 hours in the sites, looking all the way from the setup of lunch through the cleanup of lunch, and then stayed for a little bit of interview time with the child care provider, the lead provider. The sites were scheduled in advance. We get a lot of questions. Did people change the meal because they knew you were coming? We don't know for sure that they didn't, but we have lots of indicators that seem to suggest that wasn't happening. Many of the child care sites have pre-done menus, so really it matched what was on the menu most of the time. And for those sites, for example, the family homes that were less likely to have menus, we always asked about the last week and essentially asked if this seemed sort of like a normal meal for them, and it generally did, but we do have to say that they knew we were coming, but usually they didn't know we were coming for very long, sort of scheduled as quickly as possible. We looked at the child care categories in terms of 7 different categories, and I think there are many different ways you could cut this, and we're still debating whether there are some better ways. First of all, we looked at Head Start sites. Head Start is required to provide CACFP. Then we looked at state preschool programs that are also required to do CACFP. We visited centers that don't use the CACFP program, as well as 2 groups of centers that do. In the state of California, you can either be locally sponsored for CACFP, in which case you get 3 monitoring visits per year, or you can be state-sponsored, and that means you only get 1 monitoring visit every 3 years. And you might imagine that monitoring perhaps might have an influence on how you provide your CACFP. So we separated those 2 groups of centers, and then of course we visited family homes, and it was family homes with and family homes without CACFP. So we did a minimum of 7 sites in each of these categories in our visits. So what did we find? What's being served? I'm going to start with the category of milk. That's one of the CACFP reimbursable categories. The good news is really we see a lot of milk served, 92% of facilities serving milk and 80% of the milk served being reduced fat or skim. I'm trying to find, look at that. So what I wanted to point out here is that the sites that are less likely to be serving milk are the sites that are not participating in CACFP. So those would be the homes without and the centers without. So we see somewhat less milk when we're not having CACFP. And then with the reduced fat milk, it seems a little bit like it's the homes that are less likely to be serving the reduced fat milk. But again, we're going to need Lorene's more comprehensive state survey to get more deeply into that. Pardon me. Fruits and vegetables were interesting. And again, I'm looking forward to the talk we're going to have this morning about how to increase fruit and vegetable intake. We did see, it was, I think, fairly good news. An average of 1.43 servings of healthful fruits and vegetables per lunch service. Now, serving size for this age group is 1/2 cup. The healthful preparation excluded the fried vegetables and the fruits canned in syrup, but did include 100% juice, as is allowed under the CACFP program. So here we see pretty similar across the board amounts of healthful preparations. Some of our settings seem to have slightly higher amounts of unhealthful preparations, but we can't say necessarily that that's related at all to CACFP participation. There aren't specific guidelines within the regulations in that category. Whole grains. Grains is a category of reimbursement for CACFP, but there's nothing requiring it to be whole grains. So grains can be a plain bagel, can really be anything, or a pancake. Only 22% of sites are serving any whole grains, and the whole grains observed were wheat bread, corn tortillas, and oatmeal. There's a range, as you see, across the different sites, with the highest being the local CACFP-sponsored sites, where about 42% of those sites were serving whole grains to the homes without CSCP really serving no whole grains. I think this is really an area that's ripe for change, and we might want to think with the CSCP program, for example, as the WIC food package is incorporating whole grains into that package, that hopefully we're going to see some spillover into the child care providers, that they may start being able to provide some more whole grains too, and starting to consider the message of making half our grains whole. Finally, the meat protein category, which is the fourth category of CACFP reimbursement, virtually all the lunches served do provide a source of protein. Lean meats were at 35% of the sites, higher fat meats at 47% of the sites, and the difference there included things like beans, peanut butter, and cheese. Only two of the sites had cheese as the only source of protein. So we saw quite a bit of the higher fat meats served. Excuse me. With quite a range from the different sites. Food brought from home turned out to be perhaps the most compelling thing that we found out very accidentally. We actually hadn't thought about this before we went out to the sites, and we got to sites, and it turned out some child care providers don't provide any food. All the kids bring their own. So at five sites, children brought their own lunch from home, and so we observed 35 individual meals before the kids ate them. So that was, we learned quickly, and we asked to go into lunch boxes before they started eating and writing it all down. What I think is most compelling here, I want to draw your attention to the bottom graph. Juice is where lots of juice comes from home. 77% of kids brought juice or juice drinks, so not 100% juice, compared to only four sites in those we observed actually provided juice to children. It's actually almost completely flipped when you look at milk. So very little milk comes from home, but lots of milk is provided by sites. When you look at who's bringing fruits and vegetables, it's much higher when the site is providing it as opposed to when kids are bringing it from home. And lean meats are also lower when it's brought from home. I want to draw your attention up here, too. 20% of kids brought snack chips and 17% brought dessert when it was brought from home, and we saw virtually none of that in what was provided by a child care provider. So food brought from home really stood out as a different type, different quality. What we then did, because we had so many diverging kinds of meals, so many different things were served across these 54 sites, we came up with what we call a meal quality rating scale. So we created a meal score by assigning points to the food served in these categories according to these criteria. You may not be able to read this well, and we have all of this online, and I'm going to give you the citation for that at the end. So if you're interested in this, you'll get all the detail. But essentially assigned more points to the healthful choices and deducted points for bringing things like the snack chips and desserts. And when we did that, we see we had a mean meal quality score of around 6. The meals could have a maximum rank of 16, and they ranged between -2, and that was a meal brought from home, and 13. What is particularly, I think, important here to note, here's our food brought from home with the lowest meal quality score, but the homes without CACFP also really fall to the bottom here when we look at meal quality in terms of what's provided to kids. What we then did is looked at the relationship between the meal quality score and the certain mealtime behaviors. Now, we did not make up these behaviors. These, many of you in the audience who do this work, probably have done much more than we have in this area to look at the types of things going on in childcare that might be related to meal quality. Again, I'm not talking about causation here, merely association. So all of these seven behaviors that we list along the left were associated with meal quality, with four of those being significant. You'll see the stars around the outside. So for example, the second one, children help clean up. In those sites where children helped to clean up, we saw higher meal quality scores than in those sites where children did not help to clean up. Also, caregivers sitting with kids and eating the same food as kids did really relate significantly to the meal quality in those sites. So these sorts of associations were very interesting to explore. And finally, physical activity. We should have realized, but you know how once you get out there, you realize things that you didn't think of before. When we're watching the lunch service, it doesn't tend to be a time where we're also going to see a lot of physical activity. Around the lunchtime, the teachers start to get busy with preparation. And then after the lunch, they generally don't go out and have planned physical activity immediately. So we didn't actually see any planned physical activity occurring during that window of time that we were there. So instead, we looked at what was happening and what was available to kids to promote physical activity. And all 54 sites had portable play equipment, so wheeled toys, balls, or mats. Only 3 sites did not have sufficient outdoor running space, and only 4 sites had no fixed play equipment, like swings, slides, and monkey bars. And being in LA County, we can be outside most of the year. So I think LA may look a little different than some other sites where you need to have more inside space to accommodate seasons that we don't have so much here. The other interesting news was only 14 sites had a TV in the room where the kids were eating, and in only one of those sites was the TV on. So we saw very little TV during mealtime. It wasn't available in most cases, and even when it was available, it wasn't being used. So in closing, there are lots of really interesting things in California going on with child care nutrition projects. Loreen, on the bottom here, Loreen is going to be talking to you next about the California Child Care Food Assessment. At the state level, Phyllis Branson-Paul, who's the director of the Nutrition Services Division in the California Department of Education, has also been very forward-thinking in using little pots of money she's finding from the state of California, which, as you imagine, we're not going to see those real soon again. So she's been very creative in pulling together a group of folks to really be looking at what's happening in childcare. And a report is coming out this December, and I direct you to the CDE website to be looking for that report on recommendations, policy recommendations, for changes in the child care nutrition landscape. So in closing then, I just wanted to let you know where you can find a copy of our full report that was funded by the Gilbert Foundation with lots more detail than I had time to show you today. It's on the California Food Policy Advocates website, and those little arrows show you the path to take to get to the either full report or the executive summary, depending on what you have time for. And feel free also to email me if you have any other questions or you'd like me to just send you a copy of the report. Thank you. Thank you.